The Lord for his love for us as a church, and we'll be going through authentic. The theme that we're going through has been authentic Christianity, and I want to use this today's message to introduce a new mini series, a second one from the authentic Christianity. The first one was Faithful Witness, Powerful Witness, and we preached over some topics, powerful witnesses, and this one is personal integrity. I want to ask you a question. Why is it that people who profess to be Christians behave in ways that are not different from the world? Yes, I'm here. This way. Why is it that those who profess to be Christians behave in ways that are not different from the world? Why you consider that question? I want to say that we know the life of Christians to be increasingly be, you know, transformed to be like Christ. Not so? Yeah. Why is it that the end product, what we see, the behavioral patterns are similar and they're supposed to be different? You know what, brothers and sisters? Someone defined, his name is actually Mark Dever, in 2006. Desiring God conference. He said, the difference between a non-Christian and a Christian is this. He said, a non-Christian, when they are convicted of sin, they side with the sin. But when a Christian is convicted of sin, he sides with God against himself. Do you get that? If you just check yourself, if you are holding on to a behavior that is contrary to the word of God, check yourself. Are you a Christian? Are you an authentic Christian? Whether you are a pastor, apostle, pope, Christian sitting down, whatever. If you are holding on, if you are not asking God, please help me. I feel drawn towards this sin, but please help me. Until you get your breakthrough. The Christian will side with God against themselves. But what do we see? What do we see in the world? The divorce rate among Christians is similar to that of the world. Is different, but not significantly different. Why is that? We know the words, we know the songs, we know the prayers. Why is it? You ask yourself. How many Christians do you know? How many pastors do you know who have left their wives, committed adultery, and married other women, and even continued in ministry? Why is that? We don't want to propagate falsehood. So we stick with what we know and what we see. We ask ourselves, what is happening? What causes moral failure amongst Christians? I have seen some situations, many situations, where the man just walks out. Many things. You're supposed to be Christians. What is happening? He said, in America, 2017, just last year, you can still smell last year. If you have some food in the freezer, you know that maybe you kept them there last year. So just last year, the 50% of pastors in the U.S., or in the world are divorced. And 70% are depressed. Don't come saying hello to me after because of that. I'm not depressed. I'm not depressed. I tell you. 53% of very happy couples agree with the statement, God is at the center of our marriage. Only 7% of struggling couples agree with the statement. Brothers and sisters, we see some situations that we might say, oh, this pastor maybe didn't repent properly. And then he just had the gift of the gab. He wanted to come in because of money, popularity, fame, and respect. Yes. As a result, he's not able to serve God wholeheartedly. But we know some people who started well, who sincerely started well, but are shipwrecked. What is happening? You know, the others that we know that are sincere, who started well, but failed to grow and be transformed, that's the key. Failed to grow and be transformed by the constant rejection of God, of worldly patterns, and by the renewing of their minds. You know, some people, if you ask them, I've been a Christian, I was born a Christian. Nobody is born a Christian. Some people will tell you, I've been a Christian for, they look at you, assess your age, and before you were born. That's not the issue. Are you increasingly transformed? Or are you set? If David could say, Lord, you are my Lord, apart from you, I have no good thing. There are good things that come all the time. There are bad things, temptation. Not so. Don't you go to the high street? Don't you go to Bromley? Don't you travel? Things, should I buy this? Should I not buy this? Apart from you, I have no good thing. It's a constant increase in yieldedness to God. That's what God has called us to be. You know, one of the major causes of this is lack of moral failure. And the reason why we're doing this mini-series is to make sure that we ourselves are not casualties. Pardon? Yes. Moral failure. Thank you, ma'am. You see, the main cause of this, falling down, breaking up, is moral failure or the lack of personal integrity. See, so when we come together, we want to make sure that we ourselves are not major casualties of moral failure so that we'll be able to serve God. And the major cause of it is lack of personal integrity. It makes people fall. It makes people do things, leads to moral failure. They lack personal integrity. That's why we're going to look at personal integrity. In case you say, oh, is personal integrity in the Bible? I want to tell you where you can check it out, because I don't have too much time. Just check 2 Peter 1:3-11. In one of the places, you see, increase. If you have these things, faith, knowledge, love. If you have these things in increasing measure, you will not fail. So there's increase there. So one of the major causes of moral failure is lack of personal integrity. So increasing personal integrity is proof of authentic Christianity. I say that again. Increasing personal integrity. Increasing personal integrity is proof of authentic Christianity. I've directed you to 2 Peter 1:3-11. It says, if you have these things in increasing measure, you will not fall. You will not fall. So, what is integrity? Integrity is the state of being whole and undivided. Integrity is the state of being whole and undivided, or being whole and complete. The state of being whole and complete. There used to be a song, a chorus that we used to sing in those days. Many of us will remember, or some of us will be hearing it for the first time. Complete, complete. We are complete in Him. Complete, complete, complete in Him. We are complete in Him. I can sing it. You are humming it now. But am I complete in Him? From Jesus' side, He says yes. But from my own side, I have to yield to Him. I have to make sure that I have increasing personal integrity, which is the proof of authentic Christianity. Do you have that? Are you increasing in your yieldedness to God? So for this reason, we are going through a mini series, like I said, Personal Integrity, Part 2. Part 1 was Powerful Witnesses, and you know, the theme remains authentic Christianity. We are going to focus on two areas: the inner life integrity and relational integrity. The reason why we divide them to that is into two parts is the things that happen outside, first of all, happen inside. The inner life, you know, if you don't have relationship with God in the inner heart, in your inner life, it soon shows. It shows itself in relational integrity, or rather, lack of, you know, relational integrity. It shows itself there. So, from the whole of January, from now till February, we're going to be looking at the aspect of inner life integrity, and then, you know, March and April, we move to relational integrity. For today, our title is Sheep, Not Wolves. Sheep, Not Wolves. What do you know about sheep and wolves? Of course, I like sheep. When it's cooked, I like this also like mint sauce. Okay, I don't want you to be hungry. But the title is Sheep, Not Wolves. Not Wolves. And let us look at the differences a bit. I tried to put them together. If you look at sheep and wolf from the long distance, they look not too difficult, especially my, you know, optometrist is here, examines my eyes. If I call them the same from a long distance, she will understand that my eyes need to be tested again. It's very nice. But as you get closer, you see that sheep are docile. They follow the shepherd. They huddle together. They are not aggressive. And when there's danger, they huddle together so much that the strongest will go and hide in the middle, so that the youngest can be taken away by you know, predators. They don't care, you know, they just come around. No, the strongest should be outside. That's the only deficiency, and it happens a bit in the church anyway. What about wolves? Facial features, they have big jaws, they have angry eyes, they are wild, they are aggressive, they love blood. Their tail is up most of the time. Uncontrollable, they are satisfied by destruction. They will eat you. They will eat your baby. And you as well, if you are not careful. They growl at the moon. They are untamable. There's a rumor that they are related to dogs. but there's no genetic proof. They obey no one. So sheep, not wolves. Let us read what a Bible passage is, the main text. Matthew 7:15-27. When you have in mind the definition of what I describe sheep and wolves, and the topic is sheep, not wolves, then you see what Jesus Christ himself said, okay? And we'll refer to more of what Jesus said, and we'll go and visit what Apostle Paul said, and at times we'll look at what Peter has to say. So watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. I want to tell you at this point, those false prophets can be pastors, teachers, evangelists, Christians, fellow Christians. Okay? You profess something, you say something, you want to give me an information that will affect my life, whether you call it prophecy or not, you want to bring something to me. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. They pretend. But inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. I want to stop here a bit. This Bible passage affects parents. Okay? They are thinking, if my child is wayward, we should look at what he said. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. What he's saying that you yourself be good first. And then I've seen people whose children have been wayward. They have prayed and prayed and prayed, and God has turned them around. I told you I lost my brother 2 years ago now. He lived a colorful life. But all I needed to be telling him all his life was about Christ. And when he came to us three times in 2 years, Pearl and I told him about Christ. He said, wow, I have seen now. I didn't know he was going to die. So that gave me peace. You don't give up. You yourself first, parents, fathers, mothers, pray for yourself. Children are very intelligent. You deceive yourself. If you drive the church bus, you will see that it's as if you've gone to the gym. There is no power steering. Okay? Well, these cars these days, you just touch one hand, it moves. Not so? Yeah, the children are like that. They are the new ones. You think they don't know? They can't see. Okay? You yourself. And then, one thing is that children forgive. Ask God to forgive you. Call your children. Say, I have not done well. Forgive me. I've asked God to forgive me. You forgive me. Now, this is what God says. Let us do it. Okay? But they are watching you. You are their hero. They can see you. They hear your voice. They know whether you are a tiger at home and a sheep in church. Oh, sorry. Wolf at home. A sheep in church. They know, daddy is very quiet in church. Mommy is very quiet. As soon as you get to, if you are listening to this message on tape, come to church. You'll be able to see the demonstration. You know, they know. They know, they are just waiting. So, first of all, you repent. It's easy. It is free. You have nobody to apologize to but God. Agree with God. And then tell your children, I blew it. Children, they don't have other parents. They will forgive you. They will say, my mom, my dad. They forgive you on the spot. Children also, wave to me. A child here. Come on, wave. Yes, I can see you. I'll call your name. If you don't wave, I'll call your name. I can see you from here. Yes, not so. Won't you forgive your parents? I'm not saying your parents have done anything. Won't you forgive them? Yes, they will. They love you. And then you now change the reference point. It's not my bad life. We know that one. I repented of that one. They know as well. They won't go there. There's a new beginning in Christ. Oh Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. They see it. And they will help you. And when you make a mistake, ask God to forgive you. What was I reading? Verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Ooh, it's getting hot. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So when you major on TV ministry, how can you know the fruit of the pastor? How can you know the fruit of the pastor? He talks well. If you see him, he moves well. Is it a moving ministry? No, ask your pastor. How is your prayer life? How did you solve this? Can you help me remove something in my eye? Joma? Okay, go back. You see what I've just demonstrated? I asked for help. She was coming to help me. As a body of Christ, if you need something, ask. Edward, you have done this thing. Your children are big. Please, how did you do this? We're not competing. How did you do this? He will tell you. She will tell you. If all I'm doing, I have something in my eye, I'm keeping it. I'm keeping it. I'm holding it. I now begin to talk. Clean my eyes. I'm not even asking people to help me. How? What is it? Every tree that does not bear good fruit, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus. It's not just quotation. You now ask yourself, how can I get this? How can I access this? Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down. The streams rose. The winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, as it surely will. The streams rose, as it surely will. And the winds blew. Every time we see that happen, and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Praise the Lord. Look at the attachment of the man, the wise man, attached to the rock. Surely, there will be storm. Because there's storm doesn't mean you are fallen. Okay? The rain will fall. The storms will rise. The winds will blow, but you will stand firm. Amen? Because you are doing the will of the Father. You see, I told you last week, some people send things to me. There are some two very bad ones I got during the week. And they are real. Because these days, they show you the picture before and after. Maybe some of you got it. This one man they called a thief. And he killed many people. They showed his house. Incredible house. They showed him with the wife. And then when they discovered they attacked, they killed him. They showed his picture there. But they also showed the picture of a priest with his outfit. He preached against evil. Then they showed the picture of him dead. You look again, you see the head. What? This man is this man. Important thing is said on that day. On that day. When we come before God. Whereas the Lord will welcome the man who preached, who lived his life to please him. The other one just knew, anyway, that he perpetuated evil, he agreed with evil, he stayed with evil. That is not our Lord in Jesus' name. What does our Lord Jesus Christ say further about sheep? He says, I am the good shepherd. John 10:14. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Let's look at that. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just like the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Wow. Look at that comparison. Look at the simile. See? Just like I know the Father, and the Father knows me, I know my sheep, and my sheep knows me. That is how important Jesus has placed you and I, because we know him. In also, John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. You ask yourself, whose voice are you listening to? Is it the voice of the world? Or is it your own voice? When you listen to your own voice, it's close to comfort. You know yourself. You love yourself. No. When you are a Christian, your things, the Lord is your Lord. Everything is through the Lord. Then you know if it's right or not. There are some things I want to do. I know they are not good. That's my voice. I'm not going to do them. I'm not my Lord. The Lord is my Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let me give you two examples of this sheep. Sheep, not wolves. There was a time that the disciples, filled with the Holy Spirit, day of Pentecost, they were doing so well. People were getting saved. People were getting healed. They were getting delivered. And there was also, Peter on the day of Pentecost preached, and many people gave their life to Christ. And the Bible says they devoted themselves to prayer, the apostles' teachings, and to fellowship. Not so? Okay. They devoted themselves, that is, they committed themselves. And they didn't even say, oh, you have a car, don't have a car. They just put things together. They were just one in spirit. Then there was a man called Barnabas, also nicknamed a son of encouragement. He sold his house and brought it. Sold my house. Where did you get this money from? I sold my house. I brought it. Wow. I brought the money. They thank God for him. I don't know this thing about money. People's heart begin to race when the pastor talks about money. They begin to race. You know. Then a couple saw that it was good. So they sold their home, they sold the property, or whatever they sold, and they took some of it and came and said, this is, we sold and we brought everything. So Apostle Peter, the Holy Spirit ministered to him. This is revival here, the presence of the Lord. Why you want to be like Barnabas? Okay. Ananias, when you had this thing, property, it was yours. When you sold it, it was yours. You could have said, I just brought part of the money. It's okay. Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? As he said that, Ananias died. Not too long after, the wife came. Hey. Sapphira, yes. The wife, Sapphira, came. So, oh, that property, was it the whole you brought? Oh, yeah, it was the whole. Why are you lying? You agreed with your husband. She too died. People were afraid. Not many people joined them. They camped. Like they say, they voted with their feet. You know what, brothers and sisters? Let the church be heaving with people. The truth is the truth. We will teach the truth. That's what God has called us. I told you before, you laughed. I want to make heaven. Okay? There used to be a song. I think then we know it. Lord, send your revival. Send your revival. Let it begin with me. And we used to say that, Lord, if it's one person you are taking to heaven, let it be me. Your wife is standing next to you saying the same thing. If there's one person you are taking, let it be me. Yes. The Lord has a sense of humor. He can take you. He can take all of us. He wants to take us. That's why he came. That's why he came. What is Jesus saying in the Bible passage we read? Know the will of the Father and do it. Seek to do his will. Don't panic it. You have some people, we're going to have a prayer meeting. This is church prayer meeting. We don't do too many meetings. You don't hear, we set up another meeting. Sometimes, what are you talking about? Let us all pray together. I set up men's meeting. I set up women's meeting. Let us pray together. Let us help each other. We don't have too many meetings. Go and change the world. We don't have too many meetings. But we say the truth. We preach the truth. They were like wolves in sheep's clothing. You cannot take that. You know? You are looking at me. You know what paper does. Okay? When you were getting ready to come, you didn't say, okay, I take my makeup. You won't see that on tape. Or you won't say, no, I will take dry paper on your eyes. Will you do that? No. Paper is paper. It's not makeup. You don't put it in your eyes. You will soon know the effect. They didn't want a mixture. This, we are now deciding to follow Jesus. He died. He rose again. He gave us his Holy Spirit. We've decided to follow him. Just seek the will of the Father and do it. You will see miracles upon miracles. That was why people were being blessed. Another example I will give you is when Stephen was killed, they all scattered. And there was this man. On his CV was, he served tables. He served tables. As he saw, he didn't want to do big man. Make me, appoint me. You know, like in some countries where they appoint people when they're even dead. You know, no. He was also an evangelist. He was preaching and people were getting saved. You can be a wonderful evangelist. In fact, there are many evangelists here. I will name one today. She's not even in the outreach team as Mama Josephine Johnson. Yeah? Telling people, bringing people, telling people about Jesus. Limited English, they understand her. In power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. That is my, you can quarrel with me, but that is my experience of her. Her heart for the Lord. I don't even want to go more. If I go more, I will say the truth so much that at times you will be offended. I don't want to offend you. Let me finish my sermon. Complete yieldedness. There are many others. Many others. And she's just only in her 80s. Okay? How big is your spiritual bank account? What I mean, I've not been talking about money here, for here, okay? I mean, the things you do in obedience to God, that God will reward you for. Only you know it, God knows it. It doesn't go in the offering, right? God knows it. You seek Him with all your heart. So, Philip was preaching, people were getting saved and healed. Then there was a man known as Simon. This Simon, he was a sorcerer. They feared him. He made money. He had power. He had authority. And when he saw that people were being saved, he too believed and was baptized. So, we suddenly had Brother Simon. I don't think, brother, it's not in your house, your church in the home. No, this one is not in your church in the home. Simon believed and was baptized. Okay? Then when the population of people increased that gave their life to Christ, they sent for Peter and John to go there, to go and examine what was happening in Samaria. That we're hearing good news of revival. When they went there, many people who were Christians, and this is Acts 8. So Peter said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" He said, "No." So he prayed for them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. He laid hands on them. As soon as he did that, Simon said, "Please, let me give you money. Give me that power so that when I put hands on people, they too will be filled with the Holy Spirit." Peter said, "Let your money perish with you. You have no part in this ministry. Your heart is evil. You have to repent so that evil doesn't come upon you." There was a brother, Brother Simon, or Brother Si. Yes. He too believed. He too was baptized. He too was a follower. Then when he came to it, he was not sheep. He was a wolf. If his money we used to get the anointing of the Lord, wow. I would just go and, you will hear that there are many attacks in banks so that you get the money to buy. So in some countries, they think they have that. Some people actually go and meet people, go and do some medicine so that they pray on people and they fall. What's that? I've seen people fall, they didn't change. I've seen people stand, pray for, and I've seen change to the glory of God. That's what we want. Doing it God's way. Oh Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. We thank the Lord. Yes, that was what happened to Simon. Simon was a wolf in sheep's clothing. How can I be a sheep? First of all, Apostle Paul explains it in one Bible passage. Galatians 2:20. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's where you start. Okay, let's break it down. How can you be crucified with Christ? Make sure what we are experiencing now is the miracle of transformation. You might be a wolf. God can change you to a sheep today in Jesus' name. Say, you are going to make heaven. So, everything inside you, bring it to the Lord. Say, I've been crucified with Christ. So, repentance. Apostle Peter told Simon, repent. If not, evil, God will deal with you ever so. He said, please pray for me. Repentance is key. Faith in Jesus. Repent of your sins. Turn away. And anything in your culture that is sinful. You know. Some people will not eat yam until they come, go and sacrifice some in the particular time. Sacrifice, I want to eat, I'll go and sacrifice it. No. Apart from the Lord, I have no good thing. This is this new life that Jesus has called us into. Repent, believe, repent, and be baptized. The evidence that there is a change. You have a new life. I want to follow him. I want to obey him. I've been crucified with him. Now I have a new life to obey him. By the way, as this meeting was about to start, I was told that a little lady, says she wants to be baptized. So we're going to put something outside. Over some weeks, we announce who else wants to be baptized so that you'll be baptized. Okay? Believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord, your only hope. Repent. Ask him to forgive you of the past. He will do that. Okay? And then be baptized. And then come and ask God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you are not baptized, we pray with you. We will stay there praying for you. And you will receive in Jesus' name. And then you go on from there obeying him as we obey Christ. We ask ourselves questions. We help ourselves. That's what the Lord has asked us to do. In the past, it was only the priest that read the Bible. Now there are more people out there that know the Bible more than the priest. So you bring your own Bible. I bring my own Bible. We check it out. Why is this? Why is this evil by the government or by people? This right, that right, the new people coming. If the Bible doesn't say that, I won't do it. If the Bible calls something sin, I will call it a sin. I didn't write the Bible. Okay? I'm not God. Are you God? Assistant God here. Put up your hand. You are not God. It's also open. You can start your own religion. Okay? Let's know that this is what you are doing. But when we come to talk about Jesus, when we talk to the Jesus I'm proclaiming, it's all here. There's no argument. We'll be civil to each other. Well, with each other. You bring it, I bring it. Why is it? Who has ever needed money here? Can you put up your hand? Please don't do like this. Put it up properly if you're putting it up properly. Good. Thank you. That I've never heard that any of you has gone to steal in the bank. If you feel somehow, that doesn't make it right, does it? No. No. When we begin to bluster as if... Yes, you have to take my own. What are we talking about? I don't cross you all this. I want to stand on the truth. Preach the truth. Live the truth. And glorify God. Praise the Lord. I'm beginning to round up now. Conclusion. How? How can I be sheep? Take that. How can I avoid to be wolf? Anything that is not right in your life, pray. Tell people to pray for you, with you. Be open. God, I don't like this thing. No, sorry. God, I like this thing. It is wrong. Forgive me. Help me. Keep praying. Stay there. It's your life that is going now. You are going towards hell if you don't pray. But God will answer you and deliver you and strengthen you and even change your desires. Amen? That's why we are looking at inner integrity. Inner integrity. How? So there's no condemnation. We don't have a robot talking to you. I'm a human being. We talk to one another to help one another. Know our Lord, know that our Father in heaven is holy. So anything that is not holy, no, don't do it. Okay? Don't forget that if you are in any unholy relationship or activity right now, ask him to forgive you. He will forgive you, and then ask him for strength. Is that not good enough? I'm not asking you to identify yourself. I'm just saying, ask him, you and your God. Just know one thing. You cannot persuade God not to be holy. God is holy. Two, the kingdom is his. It's not mine. If it's mine, I will manipulate it. You know what? I've been to people's homes previously and our own home now. You change things around, not so. At times it's like this. You come one day, I want to put it like that. You are right, it's okay. It's your house. But this kingdom is the kingdom of God. Okay? Know that there's a big man. When boys or men, when they gather together, they soon know who is Tyson. So we have pecking order. You don't fight that one, oh, he's big, he will just beat you. So, you know, all boys' schools, you know who is the fastest runner. I'm talking now, you know who is very good in class. They are usually small, but very brainy. Yes, you don't let them, you push them in the playground because they just get all the questions, you know. But we know, you know. Here, the kingdom is God's. So you align to him, you yield to him. Three, his will should be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not your will, it's his will. So, very quickly, you just know. You know what your will is. You know what his will is. Amanda is saying, if you have read through the Bible, keep reading through the Bible, keep listening to messages, you will know what God's will is. If you struggle with it, go down your knees and pray, Lord. I can use an example. If you have a desire to just attack somebody when they have not done anything, you know, you need, go and seek help. Go and seek help. Don't just stay there. That's a big illustration. If you have desire to do evil, what is not right? Ask God to forgive you. Seek for help. And God will help you. His will should be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like, you know, Adi told us in one of the meetings, the night vigil, when there was a sin in heaven, it was dealt with quick. Not so. Lucifer was thrown out, and a third of the angels. Out. And then prepared a place for them to go. They know their portion. So let us submit to him always. Let us submit to God always. Then we will be able to say, as in Acts 17:28, that's our memory verse. Acts 17, verse 28. I give you a preview here. Apostle Paul went to speak to the Areopagus, and he saw that some people put to the unknown God. So he started telling them, the God you say you have not, I will tell you about him. They started telling them about the Lord. Told them about, you know. And then he said in verse 17, chapter 17, verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. For in him we live, we move, and have our being. Wow. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offsprings. We are his offspring. For in him, Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of the poets have said, you know, we are his offsprings. We look like him. We taste like him. We smell like him. We feel like him. We bless others like him. That's what disciples are meant to be. God has called us to be disciples and to make disciples. Let us stand up and pray.